This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
This is Rob Randall. We're so grateful that you've tuned in today. Thank you for giving us your time and your ear for just a short while. We pray that this teaching and this time around the things of heaven will be of great help, and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God will be able to use this to minister to your need this day. And now let's get right to the message for today in the Invisible War. Now as we begin Chapter 7, Revival and the Invisible War. What is revival? What is revival? What do you think of when you think of the word revival? You think of a hot dog supper or a pizza party for kids or a brush arbor meeting. Some of you are old enough to remember brush arbors or an old gospel tent. My daddy had a gospel tent where thousands of folks used to come underneath the gospel tent. I have my own tent. And I'd rather smell sawdust and watch people come to Christ than anything I'd know of in the world. The sweetest memories I have is watching sinners repent with the smell of sawdust in the air, just coming and weeping and getting right with God in the cool of the evening. Well, what do you think of when you think of the word revival? I met Dr. J. Edwin Orr. He is Billy Graham's mentor, was Dr. Billy Graham's mentor for many, many years. He was a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary for many years on revival and spiritual awakening, as well as a great evangelist himself. And when he found out that I was a Southern Baptist evangelist in 1983 in Amsterdam, in Billy Graham's conference where we met, he's a little bitty guy, he pointed his bony finger in my face and he said, "Young Randall, the biggest mistake Southern Baptists have ever made," and I thought, "You're going to dump the whole thing on me. Why am I so lucky here, right?" He said, "The biggest mistake Southern Baptists have ever made is calling their meetings revivals. We have raised a whole generation of young people who honestly believe that a revival is a hot dog supper. Revival is a pizza party. Revival is a meeting. And so we've had successful meetings without having real revival. And to the extent now, the church doesn't want to have anything to do with it. We don't have revival meetings anymore. People don't have time today," they say. Well, they don't have time for meetings, but they have time for revival. What is a revival? What is it that we call revival? Revival is to the church what rain is to a crop. Now, that's not my image. That's the image of the Word of God. Revival is the promise of rain. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. We know 14 is the revival verse. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and repent, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." The promise of the healing of the land, folks, is the promise of rain. It's not just fixing the politicians in Washington, D.C. It is the promise of rain. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 says, "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain." The promise of the cleansing of God is the promise of rain. We find this in the Scriptures. John 4, 14, "Out of his innermost belly will flow rivers of living water." The very presence of Almighty God is seen as living water.
He who is athirst, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, 17. Even the invitation of Scripture for people to come to Christ is an invitation to drink this living water. Revival is a time of purifying and cleansing. Just like that ground gets hard and parched and cracked without rain, our hearts get hard and parched and cold and indifferent without revival. Everything the church does, hear me carefully, everything the church does, if it is to be fruitful for Christ, must have these times of refreshing and cleansing that only the Lord Jesus brings. It's a time of great purifying and cleansing. Malachi 3, 2 and 3. But who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. What is revival? Listen, if the Lord stepped into First Baptist Church, what's it going to look like? What do you think's going to happen? If God decides to show up on His agenda, not ours, His, what do you think it's going to look like? Well, here we have it in Malachi. He's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Now, we won't spend much time on the fuller's soap matter. That's just a deep cleansing. You remember how you felt when you were first saved and your sins were finally gone? You remember that? That's that deep cleansing. Okay, that's what that is, to renew again the joy of His salvation within us. All right, that's that deep cleansing. Now let's talk about the refiner's fire. Any of you have ever seen gold refined? I have. My father-in-law has been in the precious metals business for many years. One day he brought from Africa a whole bunch, two or three gold bars, and they were going to smelt it. Okay, that's the proper term, right? They were going to put that, and sure enough, he asked me to come with him, and it was a big vat. And they turned up the heat, and I'm told by the one that knows this that it takes 1,063 degrees centigrade before it actually begins to melt. And once you get the fire to that heat, to that particular temperature, what happens is everything that is not gold separates from the gold. All of your other metals of any kind, all of your junk metals, all your trash, all the stuff that's there that looks like it's gold but it's not, it literally separates to the side, and then you have, as the business says, 99.9% pure after that. And then they stamp that new bar as they pour it into a mold and it cools. What's interesting to me, those of you that are physicists would find this interesting as well, that if the degree, the temperature goes between 12 and 1400 centigrade, the gold evaporates. It literally disintegrates as vapor. Now, this is the image, folks, that God gives us in His Word about what it is when He shows up. Who shall abide at His coming? And who shall stand in His day? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. When God comes, He comes to clean up the junk. How does He do it? He turns up the heat. And everything that is not of Christ is separated from us. That's what revival is. And that's why I believe we don't want it anymore. Our families are so full of junk. Our church is so full of junk. Our church leadership, all of our people have compromised to a way. We don't want somebody to tell us to repent. We don't want to hear that. We're doing pretty good without that. We sure don't want a visitor or a stranger to walk in here called an evangelist and tell us to repent of our sins. We don't want that, much less to give him any money for it. Not a money-making proposition to tell people they need to repent of their sins. Okay? And so I'm simply saying to you, but when God comes, He comes to purify our lives so that this stuff, all of this junk, this compromise, this areas of synchronization with the world's philosophy, all this stuff that is not of Christ is separated from us so that what's left is Jesus. What's left is His fruit. What's left is His work in our lives. What's left honors Him. It's not us. It honors Him. Revival is a time of purifying and cleansing. Keys to receiving revival blessing. This comes from Evan Roberts. Evan Roberts was the evangelist in the Welsh revivals that God used so mightily in the revival of Wales back in the turn of the century. If there is past sins hitherto unconfessed, we cannot receive the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must search and ask the Holy Spirit to search. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, mark it down. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. You want to have a revival in your home? Get your family together and you pray this prayer. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And have your children pray it as you go around the circle. And then when you're done, hush and listen. Because you've asked the Lord to show you if there's any wicked way in your heart and life. And He'll tell you because you've asked Him to. You want to see revival in your home? Pray Psalm 139, 23 and 24. If there's anything doubtful in our lives, it must be removed. Anything we are uncertain about, its rightness or wrongness, that thing must be removed. James 1 says that a man that is doubtful will receive nothing from the Lord. Folks, if you don't believe what God's Word says is true, if you don't believe when God speaks to you that what He says you must do, we shall ever know revival in our times. That thing, the thing that causes doubt and uncertainty in your life, must be removed. An entire giving up of ourselves to the Spirit of Christ, if we are to see revival, we must speak and do all He requires of us. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You must give yourself to the purposes of Almighty God. And number four, there must be public confession of Christ. Revelation 12:11, we've looked at it many times in the study. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They publicly confessed their faith in Christ, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The enemy's hindrances to revival, the hindrance of blindness, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they may not see the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The word here in the Greek is etuflosen. It just simply means a smoke or a fog. Think of your lost friends or your lost family members as being in a smoke from hell. There's a fog that surrounds them. It is a supernatural fog. And that fog must be lifted if they are to see Christ, if they are to understand the gospel, if they are to hear the gospel. They are blinded in this smoke or fog. And that's why prayer is so critical in winning them to Christ, to remove the blinders, this fog, this smoke of hell. The hindrance of stealing the work of God through misunderstanding. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away which has been sown in his heart. Matthew 13, 19. You've taken folks to crusades. You prayed for them, but all of a sudden, what you thought God was doing, they left and somehow they didn't understand the gospel. That's a work of the enemy. He comes like a ravenous bird. And if that seed does not find good ground, he comes and snatches away that which has been sown. He steals the work of God. The enemy's hindrances to revival, the hindrance of inflicting the body. Demons can cause dumbness. We find that in Matthew 9, 32 and 33. And as they were going out, behold, a dumb man, demon-possessed, was brought to him. And after the demon was cast out, the dumb man spoke. So demons can cause the inability to speak. Demons can cause blindness. We find that in Matthew 12:22. Then there was brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and he healed him so that the dumb man spoke and saw. He was able to see again after the demon was cast out. Now, it's interesting to note that we'll take them to eye doctors, and we'll run the gamut of doing all of that other stuff first before we ever really come to pray. I have an argument. And my argument is, why don't we try Christ first? Why don't we pray first? Why don't we fast and pray first? Why don't we seek the Lord first? Didn't that seem to be more logical? Now, I'm not saying that all physical illness is caused by demons. I'm not saying that at all. But much of it is. Much of it is. Why don't we begin there and see if there's not a spirit at work here and a root spirit in a person's life that's causing this illness? Why don't we do that first? So again, demons can cause insanity. In Luke 8:26-35, and when he had come out on the land, he was met by a certain man from the city who was possessed with demons and who had not put any clothing for a long time, and he was not living in a house but in the tombs. Today we would call him a homeless person that has gone insane, a throwaway of society. Nobody knows what to do with him. Demons can cause insanity. Demons also have the power to lead to suicide. Mark 9:22, and it was often thrown him both into the fire and to the water to destroy him. Demons was throwing this fella around to try to get him killed. All right, they can create the matter and lead to suicide. Demons can also cause personal injuries. Whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. Mark 9:18. Evil spirits can impart supernatural strength. Luke 8:29. For it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would burst his fetters and be driven out by the demon into the desert. Evil spirits can impart supernatural strength. Demons can inflict physical defects and deformities. Luke 13:11-17. And behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. Often in revival time. As you know, that's what I do. I go where I'm invited to conduct revival meetings and lead churches through a time of cleansing and evangelism. Much of the time, when I begin to meet with the folks to pray, they'll begin to pray for their sick folks instead of for their spiritually sick folks. And before we ever get to the lost, we have this huge list of all kinds of deformities, all kinds of physical ailments. And what the enemy does is he will literally put upon that church all kinds of physical ailments during a time when we need to be focusing on the loss to divert our attention away from the loss onto these physical. And you know why he does that? It dawned on me today why he does that. Because we don't seem to know how to pray against this stuff. So if he gets us to focus on the physical stuff and the demon attacks here, then he gets us completely off track and he knows we don't know what we're doing. Well, how many times the hindrance of inflicting the body. The hindrance of diversion. We've talked about that in chapter 1. One of the schemes of the devil is to divert the attention of the believer away from the work of God. From drawing attention away from the work of God to the work of men, to bring into view the things so we will miss the best things of God. All the devil has to do to get us to miss God's best is to get us to accept the good things. That's all it takes. What are you willing to accept that's less than God's best? What are you willing to compromise? How is it in your family? How is it in your church? How is it in my life? The hindrance of diversion. I cannot begin to tell you, almost you would have to travel with me to know after 25 years of traveling as an evangelist. It's amazing, it's startling how many times I will come into town and the pastor says, you know, our key leaders are gone this week on vacation. Week after week, year after year after year, I have seen that over and over again. The devil knows that it is not likely they're going to have revival without the key leadership. So he diverts them out of town. I've seen that over and over and over again. the hindrance of discouragement. We see that in Elijah's life. Here he was having a great victory. The prophets of Baal, he's got them all whooped and dead, and he's the victor. There's only one of him and all those thousands of prophets. And all of a sudden, Jezebel is mad at him. And she goes after him, and he goes into what we would call a depression. By the way, this is the most righteous man that ever lived outside of Christ. He is the Bible's example of faith. Okay? He sits underneath a juniper tree and he asks God to kill him. Oh, God, just take my life. You know, he has a pity party. He thinks it's all done. That's a whole nother message. Let me just simply say to you, after the greatest victories in your family and in your life is where the enemy will come and hit the hardest. You can count on it. After the greatest victory in the life of a church is when the enemy will come and hit the hardest. There's a hindrance of discouragement. There's a hindrance of division and isolation. As we've talked about already, the enemy does everything he can to get us isolated. Depression isolates us. Discouragement isolates us. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like unto it, you shall love thy neighbor as yourself. So there's three loves. The love of yourself, the love of God, and the love of your neighbor, right? You with me? Isolation, the purpose of the enemy is to get you into a place where you don't love yourself, where you don't think you're worthwhile. The enemy does everything he can to get us to be diverted, to be divided and isolated where we're not going to love our neighbor. Nobody loves me, you know. Nobody cares for me. I'm all alone. You ever heard that? You ever been in that pity party? Sure you have. And then the other one is God doesn't love me. He tries to get us isolated from the love of God, the hindrance of division and isolation. May we not rest till every man, woman, boy, and girl comes to understand that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Thank you, Rob. We'll pick up the next part of this topic next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll be able to find all the books on this topic, hear today's broadcast again, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. You know, it is by your faithfully standing with us that we're able to bring the invisible war to you each week by radio. Thank you for joining with us in prayer as we take this life-changing truth to the many hurting and wounded. And thank you for your financial support for the invisible war. Please give as generous a gift as you can, and we look forward to hearing from you. Call us, 877-808-8886. That's toll-free, 877-808-8886. Or go online to theinvisiblewar.org. Once again, that number, 877-808-8886. Now some closing words from Dr. Randall.
Let's join together as we ask the Lord to do His mighty work among us. Lord, we thank You today for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust You. You have been faithful to all generations, and we today have found You faithful. Lord, let us be reminded, help us know that when You died on Calvary, no one else needs to shed their blood for sin. Your blood is enough for all sin, for all time. So Lord, I just simply ask You today, in the mighty, precious, magnificent name of the Lord Jesus, draw us to Thee. That which You purpose in Your heart in heaven, I pray that You would do the greatest work in our lives this day. for your greatest glory. And I pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let us know how we can help you. Please go to the website, theinvisiblewar.org. Also, call us. We have a toll-free number, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. May God richly bless you in the journey, and thank you for tuning in today and listening to The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.